Go ahead and get singing. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Wasn't long ago we were in this chapter, and as a matter of fact, we even covered some of these verses. But I want to deal with it in a different way this morning. Mark chapter 12. You know, there's all kinds of people has all kinds of ideas about the life hereafter. Wasn't long ago, on September 1st, 2000, and or September the 11th, rather, 2001, we had people come in and bomb some tires and so forth and run planes into them. Somebody said, what can possess someone to do something crazy like that? Well, they were Muslims and of the belief that if they were to die serving Allah in the way in which killing infidels, that they would, on the other side of eternity, they would have all the pleasures that this life had robbed them. They would have all these virgins and all these others and be able to live in a life of pleasure. That's their thoughts. Some of the ancient Greeks, when they would have people die, they'd put a piece of money in their mouth. Their way, when you've seen some of these old pictures of a guy in a skeleton or a hood rowing a boat over and over the river Styx and transporting people over to the other side that's dead. That was their belief. They put a piece of money in their mouth. And therefore, whenever they would die, they would be able to, the guy who come over in the boat would be able to take the money out of their mouth and take them over to the other side. Indians, they used to bury them with their bow and arrows and bury them with their ponies because they thought they were going to a happy hunting ground. Therefore, when they got on the other side, they would have their bow and arrows and ponies and be able to start hunting right away in their happy hunting grounds. Wasn't long ago, there's a group in San Francisco. They believed that God was going to come and Jesus coming back in aliens from outer space. And so therefore, they put a certain kind brand of tennis shoes on and wrapped herself in purple, drunk poison, killed herself, waiting for the spaceship, pick them up. Take them to the other side. Somebody said, what causes people to do that? They err, not knowing scriptures. Only the Bible, written by the Word of God, God who created everything, only He knows what lies beyond and how to get there.
Amen. That's right.
It's important that you know the scriptures. We're going to read this morning about a group of people that did not know the scriptures. They knew part of the scriptures, but they didn't know the whole scripture. And can I say this? Now listen very carefully. There's a whole lot of people that knows just enough scripture to make them believe something that's not real. And can I say this as well? There's a lot of partial scripture preached at funerals that makes people believe lies. Everybody dies not going to heaven. As a matter of fact, Jesus said there'd be few. And when every time you go to a funeral, everybody's going to heaven and streets of gold open up and gates of pearl just open up for them. They just know enough scripture to make it dangerous. Today we want to look and see, what does the Bible teach about life on the other side? But let's look a few moments at the context of this scripture in Mark chapter 12. Begin with, reading with me, if you would, in verse number 18. Then come unto him the Sadducees. Now let me say right here, the Sadducees, it says, which say there is what? No resurrection. Now let me tell you a little bit about the Sadducees before I finish this story and finish reading text. The Sadducees was a religious group. They were the smallest of all religious groups. The religious groups here, the Sadducees, even though they were the smallest and minority of groups, they were the most powerful of all groups. The reason why they were most powerful of all groups was because of several reasons. Number one, they had a good connection with Rome. And therefore, they were pretty tight with Rome, and which gave them some power. The Jews hated them a lot because of that, but they were very powerful. The majority of the Sanhedrin, you've heard of the Sanhedrin, the Bible speaks of Sanhedrin. The majority of them was made up of Sadducees. Sadducees, the Sanhedrin was what we would call the Supreme Court for the Jews. And so therefore, they had the power. Now, another thing that made the Sanhedrin, or the Sadducees so powerful, the Sadducees oversaw all priesthood, all high priests, and all chief priests. So all decisions and so forth was conducted by them. The revenue that was made from the temple was controlled by the Sadducees. Where money was, power was. And so they were very powerful. And so they were a group during this time, and they come here, much like the Pharisees in a moment we'll see. Their intent was to try to discredit Jesus. And they would try to discredit Jesus by what he was teaching. Now let me tell you this. Now listen to me. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Now let me give you a little bite of advice. Can I give you a little bit of advice? You say, well, I argue with the Bible with anybody. Don't ever argue with Jesus. He wrote it. He was the Word. That's therefore the Bible says, thy word is what? Truth. And the truth shall set you free. Let all men, let God be true, and all men liars. That means any man, me included, that teaches anything contrary to the Bible is a liar. Amen. You got that? You got one source of truth, the Word of God. That therefore the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Rightly dividing it, putting it where it belongs, teaching what it says it is. Now, I said all that to say this. The Sadducees, they had some beliefs. They believed only in the first five books of the Bible. Therefore, their belief in the five books of the Bible written by Moses, they believed that nothing else mattered. They believed in God, but there were some things they didn't believe in. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. They didn't believe in the devil. They didn't believe in any resurrection after life. They didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in hell. They didn't believe in a judgment after this life. They didn't believe in none of those things. Now listen to me. I run into a lot of people who say, they tell me, I don't believe in heaven and hell. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it exists. Some people say, I don't believe God's going to judge us after we die. But Hebrews 9 says, it is appointed man once to die and after this the judgment. Right. It doesn't matter what you believe. As pertaining to truth, it only matters what the Bible teaches. Just because you believe it does not get you off the hook if it's not true. Somebody said, well, I believe he's sincere. Well, he's sincerely wrong. Therefore, God does not excuse you and say, come on up to heaven because you were sincerely wrong. You got to be right on this. Somebody said, well, how about assault? God gave us truth. You've got to believe in that truth. The word of God is truth. Now, let me say this. There's a whole lot of people running around living their life just like the Sadducees. It's a convenient truth to say, I believe I can live any way I want to and it'll be okay. Hell is full of people like that. They're screaming, biting themselves, they're in pain. You say, how do you know? Because Jesus said they was. And therefore, they'd do anything in the world if they could come back and get another chance, do-over. But my friend, the Bible never teaches of one do-over. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there is no hope beyond the grave. You die lost, you're lost. You die without Christ in hell, you'll lift up your eyes being in torment. You say, I don't like preaching like that. You better like it because it's trying to save your soul. Amen. You better hear it. It's too late when you're burning in hell to say, man, I wish somebody would tell me the truth. You better listen to truth right now. Jesus taught us about hell. The Bible said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Somebody said, I don't believe it exists. You're a fool. The Bible says a fool says in heart there is no God. What I'm trying to get across to you is a Sadducee says, oh, there's no heaven or hell. There's no angels. There are no demons. There's no devil. There's no life. There's no resurrection of life. But we believe in the first five books of the Old Testament. Therefore, anything that's not in there, we don't believe it. So they said, let's get this Jesus guy. Therefore, what we're going to do is we're going to cross him up and we're going to make him look bad in front of everybody. We're tired of him standing out, so we're just going to trip him up. Now, we've got something that's going to trip him up. The Pharisees have failed. The Herodians have failed. Nobody can trip this guy up, but we're the smart ones. We're going to outsmart him in Scripture. Oh, they were fools. And let me tell you this. You say, well, I'm going to believe what I want to out of the Bible and leave what I don't want it to. You're a fool. That's what they were doing. But look on. Look, if you would, in the Bible. Notice what he said in verse after 18. Then cometh unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and they ask him, saying, Master. Now notice they call him Master. That means teacher. They wasn't looking for him to teach them nothing. They had closed minds. They were just there pretending. They said, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. In other words, they went back to a portion of Scripture that the Bible teaches over in Deuteronomy chapter 25. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, you've got to remember this. Now keep this and you'll understand the Scripture. When God took the 12 tribes of Israel and gave them Canaan land, he said, okay, this tribe's got this land, this tribe's got this land. He divided it up to inheritance that everybody would have an inheritance. Now, in our life, in America, you might, Bobby here, I'll use him for example, he could inherit a fortune, but he could be a fool with it and lose it all. He could inherit a big old house and big farm, and then he could get in debt and have to sell it all and have nothing. You couldn't do that with Israel. You could do it for a while, but God made it at the year of Jubilee, every 50th year. If you'd been a fool with stuff and hadn't managed it right, it all came back to your family as well. No one could permanently take a piece of property away from a tribe. And so they also had, in Deuteronomy 25, they said, we also want to keep the inheritance and keep the family name and produce after the family name. And we've got this insurance in case it doesn't work. If a man dies before he has a child, then his brother can take that woman as his wife and try to have a child in his name to keep the inheritance in that family. And so forth, and they could go on down the line. Now, there was a couple of instances in the Bible where that took place. Judah took a woman, his father's wife, Tamar, and produced a child. Now, the same way, Ruth, remember Ruth? The reason Boaz was able to take her was because of this law. In other words, Boaz was not next kin to Naomi's family, but he was next to the next kin. So he went to the guy that was next kin who had the right to take her as a wife, And he didn't want to have her because he didn't have the financial support to do it. Boaz says, I'll take her. And so he took her, and that law enabled him to do that. So Israel was very familiar with this law because that's how Ruth became part of the lineage of Jesus. And so, therefore, that's also how Jesus continued to be in the lineage of Judah because of this law. Now, so the Sadducee says, we got this situation. This guy came and he died before his wife had a child. Now notice the next verse what they said. Now they go on and they said, now in verse 20, now there were how many brethren? And the first took a wife and died, leaving no seed. The second took her and died, and neither left any seed. The third likewise. And the seventh had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. So they said, listen, remember that portion of scripture over there teaching in Moses in the book of Deuteronomy? Where one would take him, another. These seven brothers passed this same woman among all seven of them. None of them had any seed with her. Nobody had children. So they're going to ask him a question. Now look on at the question they ask him. In verse number 23, they said what? In the what? Now look back if you would in verse 18. There cometh to him Sadducees which say there is what? They said now in the resurrection, they didn't even believe there was a resurrection. They wasn't there looking for truth. They was there trying to prove their point. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. They said, okay, big boy, we got you where we want you. All seven of them had her. In the resurrection, they were saying, resurrection. But they say, okay, you say there's a resurrection. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? I'm sure they gathered up before they got over there and said, listen, watch him squirm when we give him this one. He'll not be able to get himself out of this one. He'll look like a fool. And so here they go, and they say, now whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Now notice what happened. The Bible says in verse 24, and Jesus answering to them, notice what he said. Do ye not therefore what? Err. You know what the word err means? It means to stray away from truth. In other words, you strayed away from what was true. He said, do you not therefore err because ye know what? Not the scriptures. Oh man, they thought they were wise in the scriptures. And he said, neither the power of God. In other words, he said, there's two things you don't know. You don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Now, let me say this. So here they go, and they said, now whose wife will she be? And he said, first of all, let me tell you something. You don't have a clue of what you're talking about. I told you this story once, but I'll share it with you again. And I probably wasn't a very popular person in this place. But I was in a furniture store one time, and this woman came in, and she's pretty good sized lady, and she had this little scrawny guy with her. She was treating him like a dog. I actually felt sorry for him. And man, she was loud. And every time he opened his mouth, she'd say something critical to him. And I was sitting there, and she was just running her mouth the whole time. And she said about five or six times, she said, well, the Bible said this, and the Bible said that. And I heard her say that about six or seven times. And not a thing she said was in the Bible. And I was sitting there, and my flesh was getting a little warm. And then she said, the guy that was behind the counter, he told her this. She said the last time, about the seventh time, she said, the Bible says this. He said, I've never read that in the Bible. Well, it says it. And she said, I should know. I'm a pastor. That was it. I said, let me tell you something. I asked him, I said, you got a Bible? He said, yeah, I said, bring it out here. I said, show me one of those seven things you just got through saying's in the Bible. I said, none of them's in the Bible. They are in the Bible. I said, show me one. I named all seven of them. I said, show me any one of the seven. I don't know where they're at, but they're in there. I said, they're not. And you can't show them to me because they're not there. I said, furthermore, the Bible doesn't give you the authority to be a pastor. And if you know where that's at, show me where that's at. She jerked that little scrawny man up. She says, let's go. And jerked him out of his seat and took off running through there and went out that door, mad as a wet hen. But listen, she knew just enough scripture to be dangerous. Just because somebody says the Bible says something doesn't mean it says it. And so here he says, you got two problems. You don't believe in resurrection, heaven, hell, all these things. He said, you got two problems. One, you don't know the scripture. Number two, you don't know the power of God. The power of God was able to create everything by his word. Even in the book of Genesis, the book you say you believe, you don't even recognize the power of God. He can do anything he wants to do. If he wants to bring somebody back from the dead, he's got the power to do it. He's got the power to do anything. He made us. He can do anything he wants to with us. And the Bible says he created all this. So therefore you say, well, I don't believe God would do this. You're a fool if you go against the Bible. The only thing you do is you weigh yourself against the Bible. You say, well, I don't believe what you preach. You don't have to believe what I preach. Go study the Bible and find out for yourself. But if the Bible says it, you better believe it.
Amen.
Don't believe it just because I said it. Now look here. Stay with me a minute. So notice what Jesus said. He said in verse number 24, he said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, do ye not therefore hear, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. In verse 25, he said, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven, and as touching the dead that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in a bush God gave unto them, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. Now notice here just a moment, and I want you to get this just a second. Notice that Jesus went back to the book of Moses. And so he went back. He said, okay, big boys, you came to me. You're going to trip me up from the book of Moses. Let's just go back to the book of Moses. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 3 and 4 when he was standing before the burning bush. Remember what God said? Four times he said in passages in chapter 3 and chapter 4. He said this. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now all of them had died at that point, but he did not, in that scripture, and Jesus brought to attention, he said, he's speaking to them as alive people, not dead people. He said, therefore they were alive with God even though they'd been passed on from this earth. He said, don't you even know the scriptures? The scriptures you profess to believe? Now get this a minute, because there's a lot of false doctrine taught on the verse right before that. He said they would not, remember the question was, whose wife will she be in heaven in the resurrection? And he said they would neither be marrying or giving in marriage, but would be as the angels in heaven. Now, there's been some false teaching about that, and I'll cover that in just a moment. And I'm going to cover some things that people believe that's not in the Bible. But let me say this. Marriage needs to be understood. Everybody listen to me? Marriage was given in the book of Genesis for the people living on the earth in their natural bodies. Marriage will not be necessary in heaven. Marriage was given for a purpose of three or four things. One, companionship. You find somebody you love, you get together, and it gives you companionship. God looked upon Adam and said, it is not good that man should live alone. And therefore he made a woman to be his helpmeet, his companionship. The second thing was, he told them to go replenish the earth. It was for procreation. people would die off and they'd have to be replaced. Every one of us has had grandfathers and fathers to die, and now we've had children. And how many times have we made a statement of someone that we've lost, saying, boy, I wish they was around and could see my baby. Well, one reason why that God made marriage was that we could reproduce, because generations would die and they would be reproduced. Another reason why in the companionship is also a great intimacy of sex. And sexual desires within a body, and we all have them, was made to be satisfied in marriage. To find the right person and to satisfy those things within it, and to be intimate in marriage. That was part of the marriage contract. Now, all those things was in heaven, was made for the earth. Therefore, when someone died, when God gave instructions for marriage, he said this. Jesus, they come asking him, said, is it right for a man to put away his wife for divorce? And they said this. He said, from the beginning it was not so. And he said, God had instructed man that man was to leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they being twain shall become one flesh. What God has brought together, no man put asunder. In other words, he says this, he said that they were to do it until death do them part. You've heard that said in ceremonies? Until death do you part. Why did the Bible say that? Because I'll use Doris right here. She won't mind me picking on her. I was talking to her about this morning. She's had two husbands. Ray was the first one, and then Wendell was the second one. I didn't know Ray, but I knew Wendell. But Ray died, and so she married Wendell. Now, she had the perfect right, biblically, to marry again. Why was she able to marry again? Because she didn't have to look for Ray. If he did go to heaven, I don't know anything about it. I'm going to ask her, and I didn't ask her. But if he went to heaven, she didn't have to wonder about, well, I want to be together with Ray in heaven. Because the fact of the matter is this, that when they left the earth, that dissolved that marriage contract between them. And she had the right to marry again. Now, Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when he says this. He says, only in the Lord. If you're saved, you have the right to marry only in the Lord. In other words, another saved person. Don't go by marrying an unsaved person. Now, then she married Wendell. Okay? Now, that was for this earth. Now, Wendell's dead and gone. Now, they're in heaven. And I don't want to bust people's bubble, but they're not just sitting there. He's not. I know Wendell. I didn't know Ray, but I'll speak of Wendell. I think he was saved, and I'm confident in him being there. But he's not up there, as much people think, just waiting for Doris to get there, as much as he loved Doris, and I think he did. That ended here. In heaven, marriage has no bearings. Understand? Reason why in heaven it has no bearings is, number one, everybody loves everybody in heaven. Intimately. Somebody said, well, I'll take Mark here. He don't mind me picking on him. Me and Mark don't like each other down here. But we're both saved. We go to heaven, we love each other. There is nothing between us. And we have a great companionship, and everybody in heaven that is saved is one big happy group. Only one marriage in heaven, and it's described in Revelation, it's the marriage of the Lamb. The bride is a church. You say, I want to be part of the bride of the Lamb, then you got to be part of the church. But now stay with me a minute. So therefore, we don't need marriage in heaven for companionship, because we're all companions up there. All of one like mind, and we're full of love, and there's no hatred at all, because hatred is sin, and therefore we can't sin in heaven. Follow me? Now, also, we do not have to worry about procreation in heaven. Nobody dies. We don't lose a one. We don't have to reproduce them. Because we don't lose none. When we get there and all the numbers got there and we all gathered together and that final person gets in, that's it. Forever and ever, those people will be in heaven. There'll be no need of reproducing, so there's no need of marriage. When the Bible says that when Jesus said we'd be like the angels, he didn't say that we would be an angel. Somebody said when we get to heaven, we'll all be angels. That's not true. That's not taught in the Bible. Angels are spirits, ministering spirits. Angels can't sin in heaven, or they get kicked out of heaven like the devil did. But they are not telling us we're going to be like angels and be an angel, because the Bible clearly teaches that every one of us are going to be known. Now, somebody said, well, we'll be known as we're known. Yes. I heard somebody teach one time that we would be all 33-year-old male. That's not true. The Bible teaches that we will be sons and daughters of God. You women will be women. The men will be men. Nobody up there will be confused about their sex. They will be what God created them to be. Now, get this a minute. We, whether it busts your bubble or not, you can't take a place and show me where the Bible teaches any such thing. The Bible says we don't yet know what we shall appear, but we know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We will have a body like Jesus. I believe that Bobby, now this is my belief, and I believe that from what I gather in Scripture, but I may be wrong, but I believe this. When Moses and Elijah appeared after they died and they appeared to the disciples, they were not young little children. Neither were they middle-aged men. They were in their age of where they died. Somebody said, well, if Brother Bobby was to die and he went to heaven, I believe in heaven. How old are you, Brother Bobby? How old are you?
78.
I believe that he'll be an older man, but he will have perfection. He will have perfection of where he's at. If he has, he won't have disease. Where he's had cancer on his jaw, he will not have that. Deformities will not be there. I believe we will have a glorified, perfect body. And I believe children that dies will be children. I don't believe they'll be made into some being that we've never known. They did know Moses and Elijah. God in the burning bush told them, and Jesus was getting to his cross, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still had their personality after they died. Same people. My point is, what the Bible teaches is no sin will go up there. Everything that's marred, that's why we're given new bodies. We're given bodies that will last forever, but we will be known for who we are. We will be known. We will be given new names, but we'll still be known. We all are, the individual, we're like snowflakes. God didn't make any two of us just alike. And he's not going to have a bunch of robots up there that looks just alike in heaven. He doesn't teach that nowhere in Scripture. Now, he doesn't teach. Let me hit on a couple other things. I'll close real quickly. But let me teach on a couple other things. I'll help you real quickly. Without getting too far away, I'll just touch on this one and just close it off. People says, I believe Granddad is watching over me. He sees everything I do. He's right here with me. No, he's not. If he's in heaven, he can't see you. If he's in hell, he can't see you either. The Bible teaches that we do not, when we get to heaven, we do not see things. We only hear things from the messengers that come. The Bible gives Jacob a vision. When Jacob woke up in Bethel and saw the vision, he saw angels descending up and down a ladder and stairway going to heaven. Angels are messengers of God. Everything known in heaven that's taking place upon the earth, God sees all, knows all. But in the presence of the people in heaven, it's made known by the angels. You hear me? And when God wants somebody on the earth to know something, he would send their angels, and his angels to tell them. Remember how the angel came and talked to Mary, talked to Joseph, talked to John the Baptist's dad, talked to Daniel. You know where they were sent from? Heaven. And they come and say, listen, God heard your prayer. Now he wants you to hear this, what he's got to say. My point is this. To have this idea that they see everything. And the Bible says this in Luke chapter 15. Somebody say, oh, the angels rejoice and shout every time somebody's saved. That's not what the scripture says. It says they're rejoicing in the presence of the angels. The people that's up there in their presence. Over one sinner that repents. When somebody repents and is saved, news makes heaven. And there's rejoicing of all the saints. Because what happens is everybody around the throne of God knows what a privilege it is to be saved, knows how fortunate they were, and they're just so happy to God that they got saved, because there's nothing in the world could compare what it means to be saved. And when they hear another got saved, they break out in rejoicing. Now the angels are yet not understanding fully what's going on in salvation, because they're not like us. When they sinned, they were cast out, they didn't get the second opportunity. Angels are different than us. The Bible says we were created a little lower than angels. Therefore, they don't understand how God's grace has given us opportunities to be saved. My point is this. Now, let me close right here and give you this. Don't err with knowing little half-truths or what people's told you. You study the scripture to rightfully divide the word of truth. If you want to go to heaven, Jesus is the only way. You must be born again. You say, I don't understand it. Well, you better get trying to figure out what it means. The Bible says, except you repent. You say, I don't understand it. Well, you better get trying to figure out what it means. Except you, and the Bible says, if your name's not written in the book of life, you should be cast in the lake of fire. You better know what it means to have your book, a name in the book of life. My point is this. You better not listen to what people tells you. You better get into the Bible. Don't err knowing little bits and pieces of the Bible. Understand the truths of the Bible. You won't go to heaven? Jesus is the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Let's stand this morning. If you're not saved this morning, I want you to understand. The Bible says there was a time when at man's ignorance, God winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You better come and find Christ before death finds you. This morning, if you're standing here and you're not saved, Jesus died for you. God loves you. He wants you to come. His Holy Spirit is bidding you to come, but you must come. You must believe upon him. Would you do that this morning? How about it, as we sing, maybe God's still in your heart, would you come this morning? Strength.